I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
And she said, people change all the time. We just never give attention to those people. We only give it to young, sexy 20 and 30 somethings because that's what our culture is obsessed with. She says, we're always evolving. Yeah. So I like to think Rose Kalich is right. Yeah. I hope she's right.
She better be.
Y'all, it never fails. I don't know what it is about when I do the intro outros, but I am a hot fucking mess every fucking time. Like, this is like the fourth time, and the last one was pretty good, except that my AC went on because I forgot I had the AC on because it's like nice out. We have like our windows open, and I must have just forgotten to turn off the AC, which is gross. I know. Good morning. How are you? Or good evening, good afternoon. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what time you're listening. I feel like I'm being really aggressive right now in this intro outro, being like, where are you? What time are you listening? You sons of bitches. If you can't tell, I am a little raspy. I don't think I'm sick. I literally think it's this is kind of the coolest morning we've had in a really long time. So the windows are open. It's quite nice. I'm not gonna lie. But it is a little bittersweet because it does mean fall is right around the corner, which means summer is ending. And I'm a summer girl. I really am. I know it's not for everyone, but it's always when I'm happiest. And this has been a crazy summer. I don't know about y'all. It's been a lot of highs, a lot of lows, riding those waves. So here we are, which is also why, have there been some gaps in entertainment for you? Yes. And that's all on me, y'all. And I apologize. But again, it's been crazy. But no excuses. And we're getting right back on track. I'm very excited to be back with you, back with my guests, back with the pod. And what comes with that? I think we're going to start doing video. I know I'm going to have to put on makeup during these interviews. I'm not ready for that. But it's time, right? I gotta move with the time. Am I just turning this into my live diary? I am. Why do I do this with every intro outro? I don't know. And I promise you, we have guests. This isn't a solo episode. And I'm really excited for you to listen to this episode. I got to sit down and speak with Kristen Meisner and Jelena Greenberg about them and their podcast, How to Be Fine. And one, you should definitely download that immediately. Listen, smash that subscribe button for them. You're going to really like it. And they talk about it a little bit in the podcast as well. So I'm going to let them explain it a little bit more and where it came from. But we talk a little bit about How to Be Fine, where the idea came from. And we talk a lot about Sex and the City, specifically Che, my favorite topic in the world, and how they feel about that character and some new like realizations that they brought to the table about Che and, you know, Sex and the City. And of course, our gal, Carrie. And we talk about being in different places in your life and not wanting to be put in a box. Like, that's a big part of where their podcast came from, right? Well, self-help books say there's like a certain amount of types of people, right? You know, I love astrology. I'm such an astrology slut. Like, are there only 12 types of people in like astrology? What does that mean? Why do we put ourselves in these boxes? And I do it all the time. Like, I say this, after this podcast, I was like, this is really interesting. I do this. I do these things. I like to hear the checklist of myself based on, like, you know, when I was born, where I was born, like Myers-Briggs, like anything, any Cosmo quiz you can give me. I'm taking it. I want to know who I am or how I'm perceived by this test, because then you assume, like, oh, that's how I'm perceived by other people. And I wonder where that comes from. I don't know enough about the psychology about that. I will say, I think a little bit for me is that I am a Leo, and I love being told cool things about myself. I love being told I'm a Leo. I love being told I have these attributes. It definitely strokes my ego. I think there is a lot of ego into it. And so what happens when you take away these boxes and these checklists to ourselves, right? And how does that affect ourselves personally? Ourselves, how we see each other within relationships, how we see ourselves in jobs, how we see ourselves in friendships, anything, right? Our relationships with strangers. What does that mean? Group work? What does that look like? And I think that can be a little scary, especially for myself. I don't know about y'all. So I really can't wait until you listen. Tell me how you feel. Smash that subscribe button for How to Be Okay. I'm sorry, not How to Be Okay. I'm not okay. How to Be Fine. And you can listen to it where you can listen to any podcasts. And I'll see you on the other side. So how do y'all know each other, actually?
We know each other because we worked a job together. We worked for a news show back in the day.
Oh.
And Kristen was like the culture reporter. She had, you know, a respectable job there. And I was the administrative assistant.
I just want to interject and say Jolenta's job was also respectable.
It was just as real and respectable.
And she also did those spots where it's like, this episode is brought to you by the Blah Blah Foundation.
Yeah.
And so she did all of those spots too.
Okay.
Yeah.
We were working at a radio news show and I would be like, this show is sponsored by Blah Blah. And then I would also go get the mail for this one news show and like lug around their piles of books and, you know, make sure everyone signed their timesheets. And Kristen and I became friends because the show we worked on was a bit stuffy, a bit of your like, you know, a bit of a show that thinks it's a highbrow news show, which it was. And Kristen was the only one who had seen like the latest movie or, you know, knew who I was talking about if I said Lisa Vanderpump. and so we pretty quickly became friends. And then because I was sort of working a billion jobs and trying to figure my life out, I was like, I want to make a podcast about this and I'm going to live by self-help books that I've stolen from this news show. I didn't really steal it. News shows just get sent tons of books because everyone wants the show to cover their books. So I would sort of adopt all the self-help books that came in. And I was like, I want to make a show where I live by self-help books. So I brought the idea to Kristen because I was like, you're my friend and you make audio. And she was like, this is a great idea, but we're both too busy. So then we forgot about the idea for a while until Kristen was working at a different company, and they were having sort of a internal podcast pitch contest. And we pitched my idea, and it became a show called By the Book, which has now morphed into a show called How to Be Fine. And it's all because we met when I was, like, delivering Kristen her mail at work.
Oh, my God. I love this. One of my favorite things about the podcast is normally when, like, I need something, like, mentally, that guest has it. Like, I literally just left my job abruptly, and I was like, oh, this is no longer a good fit. And you were, like, trying to figure out my life. And that's literally, like, where I am in my life right now of, like, what's happening? What am I doing with my life? What's going on? I've been in comedy for 10 plus years. Not that I want to stop, but it's like, where's my direction? What's my day job? Yeah. So can you, do you mind talking about that a little bit more where you're like, I didn't know what I was doing with my life?
Yeah, I had just finished acting school. I went to like a conservatory for acting. So I just finished that, and I was teaching children's theater at the theater company where I'd studied. So I was doing that part-time. I was working at this radio station news show part-time. I was also nannying. I was working in a box office for a theater. I was working like anywhere between 3 to 5 jobs. And I was like, what the fuck am I doing? I'm like 25. I should at least have like a direction all these jobs are heading other than like sort of amorphous entertainment slash just, you know, money job gigs. And I felt just like very much at sea. And I really loved all the sort of open-ended promises that self-help books offered. You know, I was like in the prime spot to be like taken advantage of by self-help books because they were like, you feel like shit, I have the answer. And I was like, oh my God, I totally feel like shit, even more than normal.
Yeah, Jolenta oftentimes jokes that this is a time of her life where she easily could have been recruited into a cult.
I'm surprised I wasn't. I'm honestly surprised I wasn't.
No, I guess.
Although I was once approached by someone in Nexium because, like, if you worked in acting and theater at all, like, in the early, like, 2010s, you got approached, but I literally didn't have enough money to take their introductory course. So that's how well I was doing. I couldn't even join a cult. Couldn't afford it.
I
don't know where I was going to go, so please cut me off.
Oh, can I just interject really quickly,
Oh, absolutely.
Okay,
yeah.
So Jolenta talking about Nexium, what is so great about this is that experience more than a decade back of possibly being recruited into Nexium comes into one of our episodes of How to Be Fine, where we talk about Nexium, because Jolenta actually has like inside, you know, information and so on. And so on How to Be Fine, we don't live by self-help books anymore like we did on By the Book, but we just dive into different wellness types of topics. And Nexium originally billed itself as, you know, kind of a life coaching institute. It was supposed to be for wellness. They never advertised themselves as a cult, but I highly recommend people listen to that episode just to hear Jolenta's story of like, oh yeah, I really want to join this thing.
Damn,
I can't afford it. Darn it. Darn, I can't afford it.
So in the same time where she was feeling not fine, how were you? Like, where were you mentally and, like, emotionally?
I've always been pretty even-keeled and pretty jolly. Like, something that we joke about on the show
I
have resting jolly face. You know how some people have resting bitch face?
Kind of like a golden retriever. Like, just a smile on always. Like, hey.
Hey, what's going on, guys? What's up? Hey, it's a beautiful day, isn't it? Look at that. What do you have to be grateful for today? I'm going to tell you what I have to be grateful for. I just had the best glass of water. It was so cold and good. Yeah. So I'm not saying I don't bitch and moan or complain. I mean, I am a professional critic. I'm still a film critic and a culture critic. And I talk about the British Royals and reality TV, and there's a lot to bitch and moan about there. So it's not that I'm not critical of things or that I don't complain. Mm-hmm. But I would say for the most part, I am not somebody who self-help books are trying to advertise to. I'm the person who, when a self-help book is presented to me, my first thought is like, this is a pile of crap. or, you know, I don't believe these promises, or really? There's only 16 types of people on the entire planet out of the 1 point whatever billion? Really? There's only 16 types. I don't know about that, Myers and Briggs. Really? I don't think so. And likewise, all of you astrology people. Really? There's only 12 kinds of humans? I'm sorry. I know. Jo Lencha's like,
I love astrology.
Don't touch my astrology.
I would say I am a slut for astrology. Yeah. Chinese astrology, the 12-month astrology. I'm so down for it. I'm like, because what it is, so I'm a Leo. And so I love, like, tell me everything that's great about me, you know? And that's all astrology does. It's like, oh, this is what you're so good at.
You're good at that.
I love
that. I bet you're a great artist. I bet, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Natural leader. Oh, you make people feel good about themselves. But that's a really good, I think, mix for the type of podcast that you're doing. Because you want someone that's like, let's look, you know, the brighter side, but also be skeptical. I love someone who's skeptical, but like, they're like, but everything's going to work out. I think that's a very good thing to do. And then to also just have someone be like to be kind of in the trenches as well of just like, yeah, like I'm not fine right now. Like I know shit's hitting the fan. I think it's a very good balance and it makes it way more relatable.
Yeah, hopefully.
I think if there were two Kristens or two Jo Lenchas on the show instead, it would not work out so well. I think it would get pretty monotonous. Yeah.
Can we sidebar and discuss Myers-Briggs for 1 second? Because Kristen enlightened me to this fact, but did you know it was just started by a mother and daughter who wanted to like categorize all their family members, and weren't they like inspired by a son-in-law that like came into the family or something?
Yeah, the mother originally was like, who's this guy you're dating? He is not like our kinds of people. So then because she clearly had issues with her son-in-law, she began to start categorizing people. She's like, he's in this category. He's not our people. And then she started categorizing everybody else around her until there were 16 types of people she decided on the entire planet based on her small circle of people.
Oh my God. And like, don't people use that for like jobs?
Yeah, the state department uses it. It's like primarily used by like, you know, employers. You say the State Department uses it?
Yes.
Thank God.
Government agencies, Fortune 500 companies, HR departments all over the world. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense because I know way too many people that have like government security clearances. I'm from Northern Virginia, and we're not Northern, but everyone worked in D.C. and there's a lot of people that should not have government clearances. This
You're
makes
like,
more
oh,
sense
they
now.
Were relying
I'm
on
like,
this,
did I went
like,
to high school with you?
This test, like for someone who just wanted to like shit talk someone else. I am making up the context. But that's what I imagine happened, of just someone being like, who the fuck is this guy? I'm going to categorize him as bad, but that means I have to make a whole bunch of fucking categories, doesn't it? Like,
I don't think it's very far off, Jo Lenchas.
No, I don't. I don't either. How long have you guys been doing the podcast together?
Oh, man.
Oh, gosh.
We've been doing the podcast together since 2016. 16?
Oh, shit. 17? Okay.
16? I think so. Like,
I remember
my entire married life with Dean has been recorded.
Wasn't Trump just elected, like, right when we started or something?
Yes.
Or inaugurated or something? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So that was around, like, 2016, 2017.
Yeah. So, yeah, Dean and I, pretty much our whole married lives have been recorded for the show. So, yeah, that's, like, 7 years now.
Yeah.
Wow. And do y'all feel like doing this podcast? That's a long time. That's a long commitment. Has helped you with your relationships? So say like with Dean?
It's so
good
funny
question.
Because, yeah, Dean is unlike the other three of us on the show. So Jo Lenchas and Brad are storytellers, performers. You met
school. We met working at a theater. We met like because we were both actors at the time, and he now works in news, so he like performs, but like performs as, you know, someone who tells you the news. But he is a podcaster too. Like we share this studio that I'm in, so he's like very familiar with our world.
Yeah, and I was already very accustomed to being on the microphone, on TV and so on because of my culture criticism and so on. And Dean is kind of the odd man out amongst us. And you know, the
big question. He has like a normal tech job.
Yes, exactly. And the big question, like, how do you feel about being on this show? And his answer was always, honestly and sincerely, I love it. He loved being on the show. He loved hamming it up. There were some awkward moments where, especially on By the Book, where we were recording all sorts of things between us that he got ribbed for, though. Mm-hmm. For example, one episode.
Yeah.
Oh,
there's an episode where she and Dean take a bath together and are like all flirty, and it's very like, it's a little cringy.
Yeah, Jolenta was covering her ears and her eyes and screaming. Yeah. And so
I love that, though. Why was the decision to do it in the bathtub? Like, I love that. What was the reasoning?
We were living by a book called The Five Love Languages at the time. Yeah. And a lot of the books we lived by, our husbands got wrangled into it, whether they liked it or not. And so that was one where it was decided that Dean's love language is physical touch, and the more physical touch, the better. And and we ended up in the bathtub recording at a certain point. And yeah, so we've like, gotten up to all sorts of adventures.
If you do, I don't know if you watch Real Housewives, Natalie. Kristen doesn't, but for any of your listeners who do, like, it was reminiscent of any bathtub scene we've seen on Housewives, where you're like, oh, okay. I can tell you want to show us how intimate you are, but we don't necessarily want to see it, and I feel uncomfortable, and like all of a sudden, like, I'm like sort of like watching my parents in a tub. I don't know. Not that Kristen is my parent or my parents' age, but all of a sudden it became like that listening to my friends in a tub together.
Well, a tub is just so sensual.
So intimate.
It's so intimate that it's a really interesting. That's why I was like, why did you do this in the tub? That's so funny. It's like so private. Like you assume no one wants to see it, no one wants to hear it or show it. And that's why I'm like, oh, I love this. And as someone who's like, oh, there can't be like only 12 types of people. Do you believe there's only 5 types of love languages?
Oh gosh, absolutely not. No, that's malarkey. I'm not a fan of typologies. I think the world is way more complex and way more messy and way more interesting. And I think that in a lot of ways, categories are very safe feeling for people. They're very reassuring. It gives the world some sort of structure and order, but in a way it also to me feels not as brave as approaching the world knowing we don't always know the answers. Let's be a little braver. Let's accept the fact that there's lots of gray areas. Let's accept the fact that we don't always know the answers, and that's part of what makes life so exciting and interesting. When I walk out the door, I might not know what happens next, and that's part of what makes life fun, right? And I don't want everything to be predicted or everything to be in categories. But, you know, then again, I know that we all have different approaches to the world. I know a lot of people prefer that. So I don't want to tell people they're wrong for liking the world that way. But I do think that it does mean missing out on a lot of the excitement of the world if we try to always have things so orderly.
Yeah. And I was going to say, we also just have to look at like where these categories are coming from. Just like Myers-Briggs, like the guy who wrote Five Love Languages, Gary Chapman, he was primarily like a Baptist minister kind of guy. And the Five Love Languages are based in like somewhat Christian doctrine. And that can, you know, have sexist undertones or overtones and, you know, value marriage above like all else when, you know, maybe it shouldn't be advised to stay in a marriage. So like, five love languages were fun to live by. And like, honestly, it did help both of us, I think, understand our spouses a bit more. Like, you have to remember, like, ultimately, this is some, like, very Christian guy, like, also imparting his agenda. The same way Myers-Briggs is like, this is a woman and her daughter, like, wanting to talk shit about people.
Which that I respect a little bit more.
Yeah.
Talking shit. Like, I'm like, you know what? Good for you. You made this so elaborate.
Right.
Good for you. I had a question and then I lost it. It was about types and categories. Were you guys at all like on dating apps before you were with your respective partners?
Oh, I been on hundreds and hundreds of dates with online people. Hundreds. I've done all the things. The Nerve,
she was
the
a
OK
dating
Cupid,
fiend
Tinder,
before her husband came into the picture.
Craigslist. Name a way to date. I did it. I've done it all.
Plenty of fish.
Oh, I think I did that for about 15 minutes and I was like, not for me. And Hinge.
That
back when I did
scary.
Hinge back in the day, I hated it because the version I did, it was only people who were connected to your connections. And I'm like, I don't want to go out
it
with
was
people
like
who are friends
Facebook
of friends.
It was like through Facebook friends, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Something?
And I'm like, no, I need a fresh ecosystem. I don't want to date somebody who's my friend's cousin. I just can't handle that idea. Like, I want to date somebody I don't know.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people prefer to date people who are friends of friends. But to me, that's the worst nightmare. Because if the sex is terrible and I have to see them at a party later, I'm like, I never want to see you again. No.
Mm-hmm. Or if it just like falls apart, but you're still like in the same friend group, like it's messy. But I feel like a lot of like I haven't been on a dating app in a long time, but I feel like they really rely on these like types. Like I'm this type of person.
You see it so much.
Like when you're
in
doing
profiles.
Your bio. Yeah. No, so it's really interesting because what you're saying about like it does if for a lot of people, myself included, like I love tell me everything. Have a book tell me everything about me. I wanna eat it all up. But it does put you kind of like in this box and then you find yourself not what's the word? Not willing to explore more, I guess. And how much that could hinder us in just anything, like work, dating, friends, all that shit.
Well, and Kristen, have you ever been on Tinder?
Oh my gosh, that's how I met my husband. Yeah. I love Tinder.
Yay.
And a funny thing about those categories. I swiped right on my husband despite the fact that the first thing on his profile was his Myers-Briggs letters. I was like, oh, God, he seems cute. I like his other answers, but I'm gonna swipe right despite this. And now we're married.
I think the fact that he was from Australia, like, overwrote
New Zealand.
Oh my God, fuck me. It's because I've been, it's because I was
Kiwi.
Just watching The Traitors Australia, which is a deep cut reality show that makes me sound very weird. What was I going to say? But I was going to say, didn't the fact that he was from New Zealand and like was probably going to have an accent also help like override the Myers-Briggs aspect?
I think that the idea that he was so jolly, I think, appealed to me. And
jolly attracts jolly.
And I think I was at a point in my life where I was tired of dating complicated, messy people with a dark side who were frequently like, I wanted people to wear their damage on their sleeve because I have so much damage and they're not going to understand
an emo,
me.
An emo guy.
Yeah. And
right.
I just felt you're never going
of,
to understand how fucked
stuff,
up
right?
I am if you're as jolly as I am. You're never going to understand. And so I just presumed like only the ones who were kind of man babies and kind of a mess were the best ones to date. But when I met my husband, he wasn't like that. And I
the
think
opposite.
That's, I think I was just ready to like date somebody not like that. And it ended up being a great match. And turns out he has shit tons of trauma too, just like me. He just
He's
doesn't
just
act like it.
Just fucked up inside. Just,
exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And I don't need to date comedians or musicians who are fucked up both on the inside and the outside anymore, which Jolenta and I, by the way, we do have to point out something because you've talked on your show a lot, Natalie, about obviously and just like that. And Che, and Jolenta and I have thoughts on Che.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of dating comedians.
No. Yes.
I love this so much because now everyone I see is like, let's talk about Che. And I said so many times in the podcast, do not date comedians. Yeah. Like, just don't do it. Even female comedians, man. Most of us are fucked up and are not in therapy. If you're in therapy, if they're in therapy, go for it. If they're not, don't you dare.
I always
don't
feel like
dare.
I got lucky because I became a comedian after I got with my husband. So, like, he got trapped into it, you know?
Mm-hmm. As long as you're not using therapy as a stage and treating people like shit, you're good.
I'm in therapy and my material doesn't come from it.
Yeah.
Oh, thank God.
But Che.
I must hear your thoughts on Che.
Yes. So, first of all, everybody who hates the character of Che, I just want to say, so you hate the one thing on this show that's accurate? Because Che is the most accurate depiction of what it's like to date a comedian or be a comedian in New York that I've experienced as somebody who unfortunately fell into the trap of dating more than one comedian in New York in my life. Somebody who, for some reason, is able to only be open and vulnerable if they're on a stage in front of a bunch of other people, but can't do it one-on-one and acts totally destructive one-on-one, and also somehow fails up all the time, even though they're not at all funny. And I'm like, who are all these people laughing in the audience? You're not funny. I don't understand. I'm looking around. Why are they clapping? Are they all high right now? Did everybody snort a bunch of lines before this? Because none of this is funny right now. And then the one-on-one, you know, fear of vulnerability one-on-one versus willingness to be vulnerable for material on stage is such an irritating dichotomy to me with a lot of comedians where one-on-one, instead of telling my truth to you because you're only an audience of one, I'll just have a chip on my shoulder.
Got that big wall up,
Yeah, I'll have a wall up, or my way of communicating will be to nag you or whatnot. It's like, also, I'm not your material. Don't test out stuff on me.
I was
going to
say, and the material.
Stop testing out stuff on me. Yeah.
Yeah. Like testing stuff out on the person, also using the person, using you in their set. Like, it rings true, especially for me, the frustration of they're not even that funny. Like, that's what it feels like to watch a lot of comedians rise.
That's so funny because I've actually never thought about that part, but there are so many comedians right now that are pretty big that I'm like,
you're not funny
and you're kind of a dick all the time.
We know you're a
bad person.
I've
never had to interact with you. Oh, that's true.
It's sobering. It's a sobering reality that Che's actually bringing to the show.
Yes, yes. And I know not everybody likes Che. I know everyone finds Che irritating, but that's because comedians are irritating, okay? Che is being accurate, at least.
Yeah, I definitely think Che is an accurate character, but I can't stand them.
And
I think that's really – but I also think that's really important, too. Like, with Sex and the City, we never had out of the four – anyone that you really hated, except I feel like Miranda got a really shitty reputation for just being truthful and like having really strong boundaries and not being as promiscuous. I feel like promiscuous is not the right word, as open as Samantha. Like every character had their like thing that you were supposed to hate about them. It was like Samantha's too slutty, Miranda's too bitchy, Charlotte's too prude, and then like Carrie was supposed to be like the woman you wanted to be. When it turns out Carrie is
Carrie's
awful
the worst.
Friend.
Oh, I
awful
hate
person.
Her.
She's actually
the most
self-centered, worst.
Most like pick me. Mm-hmm. Like, oh
yeah, she is the patriarchy in a woman's body. She's just like, oh, gotta please the man, gotta chase the rich guy who treats me badly, gotta throw my friends under the bus, men first. All that stuff.
Anytime I do like a major change, I also watch Sex and the City. So right now, I don't know if you can see it. I just
turned
it
off. Oh my gosh.
Yes. Right before
the
show.
So you just quit your job. Now it's time to break out the Sex and the City.
But you rewatch it and you just watch how messy they are too. Especially Carrie. Like she just got broken up with Berger, and like how. Not that she handles it terribly, like it's a terrible situation, but how hard she tried to keep this guy who literally hated your success, like literally could not handle your success, but he was like a writer, so like he gets it. And it was like, no, he doesn't. You need to walk away.
He's being
like
a dick because you're
like
succeeding.
Screaming. Like, and like that's such a red flag, but she just wants it so badly. Or like with Big, I never thought her and Big should end up together. I've always hated Big. And so having Aiden show up, I was like, yes. Yeah. Was Big a mistake? I think so. I think Big was a mistake. And now you're miserable and potentially waiting 6 years to be with this person because that's who you should have been
with.
And
she only likes Big because he has money, right? Or why does she like him? I've never understood
Is
it because he's tall?
She liked the mystique. She liked that they like played into like very stereotypical like hetero gender roles. Like, I don't know.
Like he always treated her so badly, too. He was always very dismissive.
And she's always, like, showing up being like, I'm your candy stripper, like, when he had his heart attack. Mm-hmm. And it's like, why? Why? Yeah. He's a dick.
He's so bad.
And that was, like, it came into my life in a very like formative time when I was learning about dating and relationships too. And like I was a late bloomer. And one of my first like real relationships, I'd be like, well, this is what happened with Carrie and Big. So this is what's supposed to, like, it's supposed to be this dramatic. It's supposed to be, yeah, I'm supposed to cry so much. And then you realize, oh, no, 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 no. Like I've said this on the podcast a few times. Sorry to my listeners, I've heard this a million times. But when that ended, when I finally broke it off, what got me to stop it was my mom. The guy had like left me in a bar. Like we were supposed to go home together. He got mad at me over something and just left me. And I didn't realize.
Such an asshole.
He was a comedian. He left me at UCB. No. UCB East.
Not UCB
bar
East.
After, no.
After kissing ass for a comedian who I love. This woman is so sweet, but he just ignored me, was like kissing her ass. And then I made a snide comment of like, oh, cool, you're going to talk to me now. And then he just left. I didn't realize it.
I bet
but
I dated
like,
that
called
guy
my
once.
Mom the next. I hope not. He's like sort of successful now, which is really annoying because I know how shitty of a person he is. And people are like, he's so nice. And I'm like, he's emotionally abusive. And I had called my mom and she was like, I'm crying and telling her everything. And she was just like, look, like, you don't sound happy. And you haven't in a really long time. And it was finally the thing that like got me out of it. And she was like, it's supposed to be boring. And I never understood what that meant. And now I'm like married and with my husband, we've been together like 8.5 years. And I was like, oh, she means there's not supposed to be drama. Like, it's not boring. I have a great fucking time with him every day. But there's no stupid fights. Yeah. There's no like, we're trying to get under each other's skin. We're going to be withholding. We're going to do silent treatment. We're going to find ways to just hurt each other in such specific and vulnerable ways. And then I was like, oh, got it. But you watch Sex and City and you're like, but there's so much drama. Yeah. And they end up together. Yeah. Like they end up happy together with such a basic name like John, too. I was like,
oh, you know what bugs me? Not just that they ended up together, but that he got let off easy. He just gets to, in the first season of And Just Like That, die of a heart attack.
He just gets to croak. Yeah.
You know what should have happened? He should have died of a heart attack while fucking somebody else, because that would have been his character. And I really hate it when they decide like, oh, this is not the same character it was, but we just decided to change this whole character. And it's like, that character would have still been sleeping around. That would have been the more accurate continuation of that
he
character.
He was sleeping around during his other marriage. Like, yes. Why would it stop?
Exactly.
He marries someone 20 years younger than him. Like, they never fully say his age. They never fully say Natasha's
age. She's clearly younger than Carrie. Like, yes. She's very young.
Oh, yeah. Clearly, like, 10 years younger than Carrie. So she's probably, like, 24, 25 when they get married. He's at least 44, 45 when they get married. Like, we just get all these red flags, but we ate it up like crazy. Which is why the show Girls, which, like, has its issues, if you rewatch it, it's such a better representation of that messiness, but people start to see why it's
they become
so bad.
Like a bit self-aware, right? At least Marnie does. Or not Marnie. At least Shoshana does. Like
that episode where she's like, you guys are toxic for me and I want no more of this. If you're just like, I can see every friend in that like that time of my life where I'm like, we're not friends anymore because you were fucking toxic or I was toxic for you. Yeah. Like learning your own toxic shit, like in it all too. I'm getting so worked up because I love this stuff. Because this is like my type, right? Like this is like how do we get here? How do we figure out how to be just like better to ourselves and like each other, you know?
Yeah. But Girls, I just have to remind everyone, that's a bunch of young women in their 20s. And I think one thing that is a little, you know, bothersome about Sex and the City, I think the characters were supposed to be in their mid-30s up to age 40 or mid-40s, right, when that show was originally running. And that made it, you know, a little tough if we were younger than that, which I think everybody here was younger, and we looked up to that. And it's like, is that what womanhood is? And it's like, eek. Whereas I feel like Girls is just like they're owning the fact that these young women kind of are still kids in a lot of ways.
Right. And like they open the show with like the parents sort of establishing like, you're ridiculous or like, this is a ridiculous phase of life. Where, like, meanwhile, you know, when I'm, like, renting the Sex and the City DVDs, you know, my senior year of high school, my mom's in the kitchen being like, you know, this isn't realistic. This is not how life is. And I'm like, whatever. It's just not your life. But, like, in New York it is. It's like, no, it's not. Like, I promise.
Yeah.
Isn't it so, like, I don't know about you, but, like, Sex and the City is, like, what got me to New York. I was like, this is life. This is what I want my life to look like. I want to be surrounded by all these people. I want to be surrounded by these buildings. Like, I don't want to live, I'm from Stafford. I don't want to live in Stafford, Virginia anymore. And we also, my dad was in the military. So when I was younger, at one point we lived in Seoul. And so I was like, and I think that made me want to be really like in a big city, like just massive city. But at the end of the day, I think it's just Sex and the City with that opening scene, like credits where you just see all like all the people and she's in that tutu and you're like, that is the life that I want. Like, that is how influential like media is. Like, it can change your life and you're like, this is a shitty show in a lot of ways. But here we are. Like, here we're doing it.
Yeah, totally.
Do you guys like And Just Like That?
I hate it so much, but of course I watch it. As okay. As I hit the play next, I say, fuck this show. And then, of course, I hit
this
play next.
This is so dumb. This is so dumb. But this what's going to happen? Like,
yeah. And they're doing Miranda so fucking dirty. Like, no. Like they're
destroyed that character.
Yeah, they're doing her so dirty. They're turning her from somebody who used to be cocky to the point of sometimes being irritating in her convictions to being somebody who doesn't know how to do just basic things like answer her phone now. Like, there's something completely wrong with her character where she's just like a mess now.
The side-by-side clips, I've seen a bunch on TikTok where basically Miranda is turning into Carrie. And there are these side-by-sides where, like, people – where, like, Miranda's giving Carrie shit about, like, you're moving to Paris. And then there's this scene where Carrie's giving Miranda shit. Like, you're moving to L.A.? Like –
oh,
and
my
And it's, like, a lot of her behavior, if you, like, go look back through – Natalie, I'm sure you'll see a bunch of it in this rewatch. But, like, a lot of – there are a lot of scenes that mirror each other. But all of a sudden, it's Miranda that's the one – being like given shit about how much her head is in the clouds.
Wow.
That's so funny because I really find Miranda's character to be really, really accurate for someone going through a midlife crisis and being older, you know, like, so I totally get it. You see her lose herself, but I was like, no, that's what would happen in this moment. You're giving up everything. And it was, Someone was like, I was at a bar and because everyone knows like about my podcast and like my show and that I love Sex and the City. And I was at a bar and one of my friends was like, I hate Steve Brady. And I was like, huh? Like the football player? What are you talking about? Because I was like, I never call him Steve Brady. And she was like, Steve, he was a baby. And I was like, yeah, but they do that on purpose. Like they're showing that there are different parts of their lives. Like Steve is not a bad person. Like Steve, you know, yes, was a bartender and like didn't have as much money as Miranda, but like not a bad guy. But then if you think about her now and Just Like That, like she did take care of Steve a lot and she took care of Brady a lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so now she's in her 60s. Her kid is grown. She's now leaving Steve. So she's like, now she's the baby. She's like, I just want to make all these like weird mistakes and stuff. And this is why I fucking love these shows, because it's like there are these really good moments of humanity of just like you can really see yourself in it and be like, oh, I actually maybe would act like that. And I also just love Charlotte being a slut now. Like, that she literally calls herself a cum slut in this. I was like, finally, let's have something for Charlotte. And I also think we're going to get Samantha back in season 3.
You think
3.
She'll be fully back?
I think we're going to see her. Yeah.
She's
I think she
so
didn't
important
do it
to the show.
Yes. Like, she's the best really character.
Is. She's so
she,
important.
To me, was the heart. Like, and it's been hard without her.
Yeah, and she's the only good friend amongst them consistently.
She's
the
only one
consistently
who consistently
has
not
backs.
Center men. Yes.
Yeah, and she's the only one who doesn't slut shame anybody else. She's the only one who doesn't behind anyone's back say anything that's unkind. And no matter how bad your situation is, she'll show up for you, even after she has a disastrous facial with her face all peeling off. She'll show up at your art opening. Even when you're sick and acting like a dumb baby because of a breakup and you're not really sick, she'll show up and feed you soup. You know, she'll help babysit even though she hates babies. She'll do anything for her friends. Will her friends go to those lengths for her? No, they never do. But she does it for all of her friends all
That's
the time.
That's why she took a break, probably.
Yeah, and that's why Carrie's such a shitty friend. I just watched that episode where it's like she's saying she's sick. You're going to know everyone. You're going to know everyone at this fucking release party that's for you. Calm down. And then like when she was like, Miranda, you have to come to me saying goodbye to my apartment. You're not even moving from New York City. You're just moving to Gramercy Park. Like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's been in that apartment so many times.
Yeah, you're literally so moving 35 blocks. Settle down.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah. You're good, girl. You're good.
Yeah.
I remember getting so angry at her.
I rewatched Sex and the City at the beginning of the pandemic, and I remember just being so angry at how rude she was when they'd be at the cafe. Like, it was always usually Charlotte being like, I'm dealing with my miscarriage, or like, I'm divorcing Trey or whatever. And then Carrie will be like, this post-it, though, and, like, interrupt everything. And it's like, oh, my gosh, she cannot see past herself in this horrible way.
Mm-hmm. She really can't. And, like, I think at one point we've all done that to our friends before. But then you can start to think about people in your life that are that, too. And you're like, wow, why, like, you're like, why did I let that happen for so long? Why was that okay for so long? And if just like that wants to be better, I would love to see there be a real rift, like a real one between all four, not just Samantha, to see how they would handle that and deal with it. And like, would she learn?
Because she hasn't really.
I remember.
And it's been how long? Like, we met her in our early 30s, and she has not been able to, like, change that sort of me.
And there's, like, a lot of reasons for that, I feel like. I remember talking to my therapist about – I think I was talking about my ex, because I was just like, I wonder if he's different now. Like, and she was like, people only change if they want to. Not if they have to, only if they want to. And she was like, and most people don't want to change because it's not fun, right? It's like – messy, you're gonna lose friends, you're gonna like find out shit about yourself that you don't like, and then you've got to maintain that and you've got to actively work on that. Like, no one wants to do that. Like, everyone always says about like getting better and being like healthier in that way. They never talk about that part. Like, it's actually like really ugly to go through, and we've seen it with her, right? Like, we've seen like she's not changed. She's the same person, and now they're in their 60s now. Like, she's not changing. No one in their 60s is changing their ways. Absolutely not. The prime time to change would be your
20s.
Yeah, would
have been when we first met her.
Maybe. maybe 40s if like something dramatic happened that's going to make you like pause and be like, "Oh, right?" Cuz you have to ask yourself, like, and like when I was going through like some like depression and stuff like that, I was like, where am I the problem in this? And you're like, oh, there are places where I'm the problem. Here is where I'm being the toxic friend. Here is why this is happening, because I'm doing X, Y, and Z. But like, Carrie's not self-aware, or she is, and she's just going to ignore it. Because that's the worst, right? When you know those people that are self-aware and they're like, well, I don't give a fuck. Like, I'm just telling you like it is. I'm just being that bitch. And you're like, no, you're just being a cunt. Like,
I'm
you're just being honest.
You're just being mean.
Stop hating me for being
just being selfish. Like,
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, one thing I do want to say that is on a more hopeful note, I do like to think people can change. It's not just something for your 20s and 30s. I know somebody, when I first moved to New York, I met somebody named Rose Kalich, and she was in her 90s, I believe, early 90s. And when I met her, I just thought she was such a delight, so friendly. And I asked a lot of questions about who she was and how she came to be. And she said, well, when I was 80, I made a decision. I'm not going to be shy anymore. And that's when my life opened up, is when I made the decision.
Aww.
And she said, people are constantly evolving. People are constantly changing. We don't give them credit for it. There's this thing called, you know, second adolescence, menopause, where a lot of, you know, women make major changes in their lives. There's the evolution a lot of people go through when they reach retirement age. There's the evolution as we accept the fact that we're elderly. And she's like, people change all the time. We just never give attention to those people. We only give it to young, sexy 20 and 30 somethings because that's what our culture is obsessed with. She says, we're always evolving. Yeah. So I like to think, Rose Kalich is right. Yeah. I hope she's right.
She better be.
I hope, right? I hope so. No, that's great. And I love that. I feel like that's probably the outlook on your podcast of just like, there is why put ourselves in these boxes of like, this is the only time that you can change.
Yeah. Yeah. I really believe that. And I also think the fact that we're so ageist in our society also contributes to us saying, oh, I can't try that job now. I've been in this job so long. I'm 33 now. And it's like, oh, shut up. You can change jobs.
Like, it's gotten me this far. So like, don't need to change it.
Yeah. Or I'm too old. I'm never going to find love. I'm 54. And it's like, you know what? With life expectancy being the way it is, even if you don't meet someone for another 6 years, you're going to be stuck with them for over a quarter of a century because of life expectancy. So it's really like not over yet. Please don't frame things as it's too late now. It's not.
I've nannied a lot in my life, and back, I want to say this was like 2014, 2015, I'd have to go on this play date with this woman that was a lot. She was a lot, and she was like, I think in like late 40s, maybe going 50s, but she'd always be like, yeah, I just didn't think I was going to meet anyone. And then like, I worked for him, like it was her boss. Like he's like a dentist, I think, or like a doctor. And she was like receptionist or something. And I was like, that's great. I'm so glad for you. Like, I'm so glad you're happy. But she also still kind of seemed miserable. And then I went to a play date at her house. And this other nanny my age was like, have you not been to their house yet? And I was like, no. What am I walking into? And you walk in literally on the water of East River. It's this gorgeous apartment. And half the apartment is this husband's train set. He had built in
what?
A full mountain.
No, I was not expecting that.
I know, right? Like, no one, everyone thinks it's gonna be like some weird
sex
shit
stuff
or something.
Or just
it's
really
like
messy or something, but no.
This mat, like, I can't, like, it was like 10 feet tall. It had people, it had like different seasons. It was, no one could touch it. It was only his, like, the children can touch it. And he would just come home and just play it. And I'd be like,
I love it.
I'm glad love worked out for you. I'm glad this feels very, like, you know, a great partnership. I'm so glad.
Wow.
I think that's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love it.
I don't think I ever really interacted with him because he'd come home if I was, like, there. It'd be like, okay, now it's time for you to leave because he's going to go play his train. Like, he's going to play his toy now. And you're like, okay.
Cool.
Okay, do you. How much did this cost?
Because
I have nothing in my checking.
How much that cost. Wow. Now I'm just imagining going into like some nice, beautiful apartment and just having it being overrun with like tiny figurines.
Mm-hmm. It's like where the dining room should have been was just like this massive.
I love it so much. I love it. To me, it seems weird and funny in a way that it's not weird and funny when your husband or boyfriend or dude that you know just goes home and plays video games for 6 hours a night. Like, it's kind of doing the same thing, only it has its own quirks and humor to it.
You can paint them yourself.
It's almost like a dollhouse situation, only it's like dollhouse stuff that moves, right?
Yeah.
I always think of The Sopranos, actually, because of the scene where What's-His-Face gets murdered. He was looking for, like, new trains or, like...
Yeah, there was someone that did model trains, wasn't there?
I can't remember. It was one of the main characters. I can't remember his name, but it was, like, when they were taking... It was literally, like, the final, like, episode or two, and they were, like, everyone's getting killed. And he's literally wearing his little, like, conductor hat, I think, with his kid. And you're just like, oh, man, that's fucking sad. But, yeah, that's what it makes me think of. And it's also like, it was a lot to walk
Bobby.
Into as like a
Sorry,
22
I
year.
Just remembered. Big Bobby,
oh, Bobby.
Who took
yes.
care of Uncle June.
Big Bobby.
Yeah.
Mm. Yes. It was like weird and like jarring to walk into. But then like, I think now like older, it's like, well, I'm glad. I like seeing adults be like kids. Like I hate when I see, that's what always hurts my soul is when I see an adult that no longer has like wonder. Mm. Like an adult that hates snow, I'm always like suspect of. Like I get it. It gets in the way of commutes. I guess it's messy. But like snow in New York City is the most gorgeous thing in the world. And just like for a second, everything gets quiet and you can't see the trash. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like everything's covered. It's like you gotta just like allow the wonder in. You gotta still love bubbles. Yeah. You gotta just like, if a kid loves it, you should probably still kind of love it. Like sidewalk chalk, amazing. Like just be silly. I don't really know where I was going with that, but that's yeah, like trying to be as like true to your like inner child as much as possible.
It's more fun that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we saw a lot of it with COVID.
I was
going
to say,
right?
Yeah, like, a lot of like inside. People looking inward being like, what do I actually enjoy to kill time? Like, and a lot mm-hmm. of that, I think this has even come up in self-help books we live by, where like if you're looking for that, the advice is often look to what you liked when you were a kid. Like mm-hmm. Odds mm-hmm. are it still stands, or part of it will. Mm-hmm. And it will get you to being like, mm-hmm. oh, right, I loved painting, or I loved like building model shit or whatever.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. So normally what I do like around the end of the episodes, I like to ask my guests, like, is there anything we didn't talk about that you'd like to?
I feel like we covered a lot of ground. Yeah. And we got to talk about pretty yeah. much everything Jolenta and I already talk about all the time, which makes me happy.
And way more Sex in the City. So
yes. Yes.
Yeah, I know. I will always talk about that.
Kristen's
City.
Just been waiting
day.
For a chance to unleash her Che theory. So
yes.
Thank you. Thank you for that.
Yes. Thank you for giving
course,
us this chance.
And it's a good yeah. theory. Always. Anytime. Awesome. And so does your podcast come out every week? Every other week? Every week?
Yep. You can find How to Be Fine wherever you listen to podcasts. We come out every week. We talk about, like we said, sort of current self-help trends and dive into where they came from, if they're effective, mm-hmm. look at studies based around the trends. And then we also answer a few advice questions that are usually sort of betterment, wellness, self-helpy related. And we try to help people just reach fine. We're not like giving you goals and like optimum self directives. We just want you to like feel okay.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen that? There's a Subway ad that's like, I think it's like Hinge or Tinder that's like, it's okay to marry this person for goals. And you're like, what copywriter okay this?
What does that even mean?
What the fuck? I know. What does that even mean? Why are we bringing goals into this? Don't do that.
Yeah, not everything needs to be optimized. I don't need to optimize like that. I don't need to optimize naps. I saw a recent article about how to optimize your nap. And I'm like, just let me take a nap.
What's there
Come
to optimize?
On.
Like close your eyes and sleep.
Yeah, just go
optimize
sleep.
Your water
just
consumption. It's like, sometimes I just want to do things and it's fine. You know, just let me go on a walk. Let me take a nap. I don't want it to be the best, most perfect, most optimal version of a walk or a nap. Just let me do it.
Yeah, there's definitely at this point of like, are you using your time perfectly? Like, you want work-life balance. Are you balancing the balance of balancing? And you're like, and then that overwhelms me. And I'm like, well, now I'm just going to watch Sex and the City for the 50th time in a row. Like, because that's going to make me feel calm. And I should probably actually go outside, but I'm not now because you've overwhelmed me.
It seems
you know?
Like a great use of time to me. I always think watching TV is a good use
of
time.
Self-soothing in any way you need to is the best way to do it. And, like, why not with TV? It's such a beautiful, like, language so many of us speak.
Yeah. I think it's a great connector.
Yeah. I think so, too. Absolutely. Guys, thank you so much for listening. I hope you're good. I hope you're having a great week or weekend, wherever you're at in your life right now. I feel like I get really like motivational or like soothing. But wherever you are is like where you are. And I think that's a really hard lesson, right? One of those memes got me that was like, I'm going to butcher it, but it was something like, stop thinking in the terms of what should have happened and start thinking in the terms of what happened. And I'm not going to lie, I've had a couple of like setbacks, more emotionally than anything, mentally than anything, where I have been like, well, this is what should have happened.
or like because of X, Y, and the Z, this is why I should have gotten this or should have gotten that. And it is really detrimental to my health. I feel it. I can feel myself getting a little bit more anxious. And I saw that meme and I was like, fuck, that's what you do. I wonder if memes count as like checklists too for like, you know, how you see yourself. Social media has ravaged my brain is what I will tell you. But then there's these moments, these little pockets of like, this is good. That is what my therapist has been saying to me for years. Which is true. I don't know why I'm doing this in the outro, but I'll leave you with this. I remember one time asking her like, oh, well, I would have been a different person, right? If this didn't happen. And she was like, well, yeah, you would have been a completely different person if this thing did not happen in your life. But it did. So now you're not that person. You're this person. And it was one of the hardest things to hear, but it was also one of the freeing things, most freeing things to hear too. Because she was like, it doesn't mean you're can't, you know, get back to a certain person that you want to be, but this happened, so there's no shoulda, coulda, woulda, so now you're here, and where you choose to go from here is up to you. And I think that's pretty huge. And why am I doing this in the outro? I don't know. Remember to go like, subscribe, rate, review, listen, download, have a great time listening to their podcast, Kristen and Jalenta's podcast, How to Be Fine. And remember to rate, like, subscribe, share, review, download, smash, I don't know, Awkward Sex in the City. We are also touring very soon. We're going to be in Seattle October 6th, and we're going to be in LA October 20th and October 21st. And we can't wait to see you soon. We have a couple other cities coming up as well. And y'all, I'm going to go, I don't know, do something for this raspy voice or some shit, because maybe I am sick. And that's why I was going on these weird tangents. And we'll talk soon.